tired. Hi. Are you tired?
Did you just ask me if I'm tired? Mm-hmm. That's really rude.
No, you just look disinterested for a second.
Oh, I'm interested. Okay. I'm right. really interested.
He asked me if I was old, so you should take tired as a compliment.
I've got my best friends, Greg Hughes in here, who's discovered stretchy pants and elastic waist, Jim DeBacchus, and myself.
And you know what I've discovered? I have discovered that this fake meat now, it is unbelievable. You cannot, defy you to tell the difference.
Why would I not want to eat meat? Why would I even want a substitute to meat?
Because it's a third of the calories and it's healthy. And
is it really healthy when you look at the ingredient list? I don't know.
Well,
I think Igor invented this in a basement of some castle. Okay. I am not down with fake meat.
I'm a vegan.
Sorry.
And I don't even want fake meat. I don't want real meat. I don't want fake meat.
Red meat.
Did you try it at home or did you try it at like Burger King?
No, first I tried it at Burger King, and then just for the hell of it, at the store the other day, I bought like 10 packs of everything just to experiment it.
Wow.
Experiment with it. So I tried the Jimmy Dean patties, and it tastes just like sausage, and I tried the lamb. I mean, they got it down. Like it or not, this is gonna be
point.
A big wave.
I don't understand the point.
Because it saves the environment. I mean, the amount of...
See, that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
They say cow farts
I knew
are
this
so
was
bad
some,
for our air, right?
I knew this was some social engineering.
The cow
you were just going
to
boss me right
that.
Out of my own
that'll
red
be,
meat.
Up the F word.
That'll
F
be
word
brief. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to get you off on...
All right, we've got serious things to talk about, but fake meat, who knew? So this week, Jim DeBacchus is experimenting with fake meat, and Greg Hughes has walked into the world of Lululemon with all the Draper moms.
Oh, yeah.
And loves it.
I told you that off the air.
Oh,
yeah.
Now
I'm in there.
I like Lululemon, but I can't make myself buy Lululemon because it's a lot of money for a little bit of spandex. So
it is. But, you
I'm
know,
too cheap.
You know, the COVID-19 can also include COVID-19 pounds that
true.
You can gain. In that time, of which I've gained a ton of weight. So anyway, those pants are stretchy. I like them.
So. There's one other thing that, some of my friends said, you got to go get this new exercise bike. You know, the one everybody's getting.
That Peloton.
You have a
one.
Peloton?
No, I went and I looked at the price and I went, wait a minute, I'm going to mortgage my house to get one of those?
The scary part is the monthly fee after that. That's why I just buy running shoes. A pair of Saucony gets you through for like a year for like $50.
But apparently it's unbelievably cool.
Everybody
the
likes
Peloton
it. I hear
things.
A lot of good,
yeah, yeah.
Good
I mean,
about
I,
it. Seems like a lot. It
I didn't want to get
much.
One because I thought
sure
I might like it.
It is a bit pricey.
And I'm glad all of our political friends are like, what the heck has just happened to this podcast? All right, we got to talk about what's happening this week because, as always, it's never a boring week. Yesterday, we had a record day of 911 new COVID cases in the state. Today, not to be outdone by Thursday, we have 1,117. So the question is, should we be freaking out? Should we carry on with our hand washing, maybe not get too worried because we're not seeing a huge bump in deaths, we're not seeing a huge bump in hospitalizations, or is this just the precursor to that? Jim, I feel like you have something to say.
Yes, I think the first thing I want to say is we need to build a wall around Provo and make Utah County pay for it. I mean...
you are totally like the Donald Trump of the Democrats.
You really are. You're just like him. Only get
what about hair?
I was just gonna say your hair.
That ain't right.
You need to feather it a little more, but
feather it.
So they do have a problem. But as a BYU grad yourself, what is it? Is it because you live by so many rules in your life? As a Mormon teenager, you go to college down there, and you're like, I'm going to a club, and I'm passing.
I don't blame the dancing bears, cougars at BYU.
But I read the lap dances air lap dances, according to Kwaku or Kwoku or whatever his name is.
This is a unique podcast. This episode is very unique.
So is this BYU's fault?
No, here's the thing. This is the frustrating thing to watch. Infections, if you don't see the hospitalizations go up, if it is not straining our healthcare delivery system of hospital beds and more specifically ICU or intensive care unit beds, then we don't have a problem. I don't think Americans understand. I saw a statistic. I think it's 92% of the deaths are coming from people that are older than 65 years old. It is like 2% of those that are 24 years of age and younger. I think the public perception is that this is hitting people maybe a little less with younger people, a little more with older people. No, this is really, when you look at the statistics, CDC statistics, this is most dangerous, and it is hitting hardest those that are older than 65, and then those that have other health complications. So when we don't have it, I said this every week, and I'll say it again, when we don't have immunity to this virus and we don't have any vaccines, I don't know how we think it's reasonable that we will not see people catch this virus until there is an immunity to it or a vaccine that you feel is safe that you would take. What we don't want to see is the overrun of our hospitals. That is the whole point here. If I'm not seeing that as a policymaker, then we're not in trouble. And I'm telling you, let me just finish this point. We have decided to make infection rates of COVID-19 more important than the isolation that elderly people are suffering through, the increase in Alzheimer's because of what lives you're living at this moment, the abuse going on in homes that children would otherwise report to principals and counselors, or the breakfast or lunch they're able to eat at school. Or the empty hospitals that you can't get help or get health care delivered. We have given all of these areas that I would not argue make Utah healthier because of this one statistic of infection rates of this virus. I think we're losing by way of public health much, much more than we are preserving or worrying about when you talk about this virus.
Body, mind, and spirit. That's what Greg is going after. So, Jim, before you go on, I want to ask you about this, because what he's talking about, we're looking at our schools this week, and there's a debate over whether the schools are making the right decisions. Kenyon's district has some infections there that they've been discussing. Riverton High School has them as well. I think Riverton has 17. Kenyon's numbers are up in the air. They actually have a teacher that's in the hospital right now. And a lot of people are getting mad and saying, you know, the rule was 15. Once you have 15, shut it down. But I do want to remind people that before school started, we sat down with a bunch of superintendents here in Utah. And 15 is not a hard and fast rule, because you can look at it and say, you know, what if 5 of those cases come from a family that all seems to be in the same school? Or as Riverton said, they have 2 different clubs sort of outside of school. I don't know if it's the cheerleaders and the chess club or what it is, but they said that they can kind of narrow it down to where they are and they can keep those kids at home and carry on. I don't think Jim is very happy about this. Why does that not work? Can schools not make their decisions for themselves as to what's best for their families, and families keep their kids home?
Of course not. The damnedest thing I've ever seen is that school board... Is it the Granite District out there where Riverton is?
No,
it's not. It's Jordan. Look, this is where we have evolved to. The goofballs who may know something about education are making the health decision in their school. I looked up the bios of everybody on that district. Some of them are nice. Some of them have shaky backgrounds. That's how this system has evolved. It's not Dr. Fauci. It is not our state epidemiologist. It spread this out to 50 school districts.
Okay, so
and they're going to make the decision, and they know nothing.
Okay,
they're listening to parents, blah, 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 blah. The parents know nothing. Do parents operate on their kids?
I think he's going to China.
No,
he says
listen,
every week we need to be more like China.
Let's just pause for a second and just think about this. I'm going to ask both you and Greg questions about this. Do parents not have the best intent for their children, though, at heart, and the school? And the question, I guess it's like federalism. So the question is, do you want Dr. Fauci making decisions for everyone in the country, or do states and then smaller communities and schools know their schools better and know the cases? Because sometimes just looking at numbers doesn't tell you the whole story. Or is it straight numbers? The health department says shut down, you shut down.
Clearly, they don't know. Did you see the video of the people in St. George?
I did.
Did
that's
you
a
see?
Whole other topic
no,
for
those
day.
Are parents. That's what I'm saying. If one of your children were suddenly to have a terrible pain in their stomach, and it could be an appendectomy, it could be anything, would you call the school board and get all the parents in and say, what should we do? This is a virus. This is a scientific issue. And it doesn't really matter what parents think.
I know, but we have
the parents
to remember
are saying
we live
a lot
in
of...
America where there's still freedom, and your body, your choice matters not only for the baby inside your womb, but also
fine.
The mask you put on your face is what they would say and argue. No? Do you disagree?
Fine, fine. You know what? You have a choice in life. Listen, yeah, I get it. I'm not actually hostile.
He's like
at the moment.
Fired up.
But you have to turn down that mic of his.
I know.
And you talk about aerosol. Let me tell you something about COVID. You're not supposed to be like breathing people's spit, Jim.
So what
in the world?
So bottom line here, without getting fired up, you don't want these to be like, lonely.
Don't get fired up. What
you don't
I
want
know?
Them. So San Pete High School, San Juan County.
No.
Everyone,
of course not.
The decision should be made on the state level is what you're
no,
saying.
No, they really should be made with the finest facility in the world on this kind of issue.
So
with
what's
the CDC.
Facility? That's not always the finest facility in the world. We can talk about why the CDC is controlled by
Big
Pharma and they
is,
exchange people
No,
back
that's
and
not
forth.
True. They are world-respected.
They are world-respected,
they
but
are,
they are not
They're
infallible.
The best of the best of the best. And then you got the guys with a... QAnon stories
well,
and whatever.
We're nine months into this, okay? We are 9 months into a state of emergency. Well, the emergency's been going for 6 months, but so it really does really challenge the premise of what or definition of what an emergency is. But we are between 6 to 9 months in this environment of having this virus.
Yeah.
If you have, and I campaigned in St. George, Washington County, I kept my hands clean. I got my routine down on what I believe are reasonable precautions.
Okay.
If you live in a community like Washington County where they have not embraced wearing masks the way that Salt Lake County has, and it's an older population, a retirement area as well, if you have not seen all the hospitals overrun, if you have not seen the scenarios that were coming out of Italy.
St. George is our Sweden.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that it's hard. I think you're going to start to see these infection numbers go up if – we stay in this state of emergency that the longer it is, it's going to be hard to understand it's an emergency. But when you see people making decisions that you were told if you make them, the sky will fall. And when it does not fall, when it is not creating the death count that has been promised, you're going to find situations like you find in Washington County. But this is what I'll say about the schools, going back to that. You don't have to be from the CDC to understand that we have working parents every single day and kids that you cannot leave home alone. If you don't have a school. And if that child is not in a school, and particularly when it's kindergarten and in the early years where they've got to be at reading level by third grade, or they are in trouble, they can't read to learn. That is a critical time. If those children cannot go to school and those parents work, then where do those kids go? They go to grandparents' homes, or they go to a daycare where there'll be plenty of adults at the daycare. They just won't be learning in the presence of adults. And to any adult that would tell me, I don't want you to send that kid to school, albeit send them somewhere else, which I don't find to be a healthy alternative, because we don't want these teachers to be at risk, unless that person telling me that never darkens the door of a supermarket, where we've asked adults to work and be available so that we can buy our groceries at supermarkets every day. Those workers are in the presence of so many adults buying their groceries every day. We can have masks on, but to say that the safest population of our country, our children, it's a deal killer. You can't have parents or teachers there for healthcare risks. We're talking out of both sides of our mouths. A, it's not safe for kids this way. And B, it's not a greater risk to those teachers than any adult who's being asked to work in a hospital or at a grocery store or anywhere else that we depend on people to work.
So let's talk about your area for just a minute. Canyon's district is where you live.
Yes.
High school there, Corner Canyon High School, has a teacher that's in the hospital right now. They have 6 students. I heard someone last night saying, oh, but we're not going to shut down the school because we've got a football game to play. Are we doing it wrong?
Bravo.
When you see a teacher in the hospital, do we need to take a step back and say, wait, are we doing this wrong?
Well, tell me about the person that's in the hospital. The biggest challenge we have as members of the public.
I think she's probably about my age-ish, a couple years older.
34.
Exactly.
What would help us all and what we would require less the government telling us what to do, and we would all start to make decisions that are the best decisions, is if the information being provided to us, we could get our heads around. So if people knew what the age group is of those that are most vulnerable, or where the hospitalizations
more
are happening the most.
More specific information would be
good. What comorbidities, as they call them, what other underlying health issues is someone struggling with that makes getting this virus even worse for them? If we understood, we are not given any of that information. In fact, there's a breaking news story out of Nashville. They had data coming out that said that the bars and restaurants weren't where
I saw that
it was construction sites, and what was the other one? It was another
is where it was getting passed, yeah. And it was and very low.
And they tamped down and would not let the public know that information. They did not want them to know that there wasn't this greater risk in these bars and restaurants.
Who would do that? The governor,
the mayor's office of Nashville. They hid that information from the public.
There was a big pissing match between the reporter and the mayor's office.
Let them,
over that.
Well, let the information
then impeach the mayor. Yes. I'm going to go back to this. Do you want those kids to get an education? Do they need it? Do you want the elderly to not be locked up like animals? Do you want the economy to start to boom? Do you want people going to restaurants? Do you want bars open again? Do you want to be able to go to a football game?
Yes.
Get rid of the virus.
You don't get rid of it by hiding
from it. You can get rid of the virus.
With a three-week shutdown, I just don't see it happening. It'll come back once we go outside. So the question is...
So we
by then, we can tap it down. It's out of control now because the governor... I got to say one thing before we move on, and then Dreg can finish up.
We
but
have so many other
I issues. Have never seen such gutless leadership in my life as Herbert and Cox, the legislature, Democrats included. They are letting the people in St. George and Utah County decide things that scientists ought to be doing. This is a pandemic. It's
you
not like...
You wouldn't let generals decide whether we go to war. You don't let the doctors decide singularly what we do with this pandemic. You have public servants that need to do that. I will tell you this. These state of emergencies that need to be reauthorized by the legislature, when the legislature did not reauthorize it and the governor just printed up a new one at midnight, it wasn't to save ink toner that there is a requirement that you need the collective will of the legislature to extend it or not. It was not extended, and it should not have been redone just at midnight that night. So I think, Jim, there needs to be a checks and balances, and this information, this free flow of information that you're discussing, not just with CDC or scientists, but those that are public servants and those constituents they represent should be part of this discussion and the decision-making process. And I don't think under a state of emergency, 6 months long, that gives the executive branch broad
a year
power.
From now, we're still going to be arguing about this because you're not going to let the virus die away. That's
President
what's going to happen.
Operation Warp Speed is going to provide us
we'll
the
see.
Safety that we need with his
there's
leadership.
Something to look forward
we
to.
Trump
also 2020.
Know that the flu vaccine has not gotten rid of the flu. So, I Trump mean, hopefully that this gets less... virulent is the word.
We promised that this would be a short segment.
I'm sorry.
And then we
but here's one thing I wanted to... I don't know if my mom wants me saying this, but she actually tested positive this week. And she was frustrated because nobody's contact tracing her. And I thought that was interesting in the... Are we out of people? Do we not have enough going on? And we may be, the cat's out of the bag and you can't. But she was interested because she is a substitute teacher at elementary schools. And she, depending on who needs them, she goes. So I think in the school year that's in session for 2 or 3 weeks, she's been at 7 schools so far. She's also flown to Philadelphia to see grandkids and back again. And who knows where she got it. It may have been on a Target grocery shopping cart, but it doesn't seem like we're contact tracing anymore. So I don't know if we've jumped the shark in that realm.
There's no uniformity in our state of who gets tested, what the circumstances are, how we're categorizing COVID cases. There's so much gray area.
The only winners in all of this are the slush funds that Herbert and Cox set up with their buddies in Utah County that are still getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, even though their products are worthless. It's the big thing. And who's going to audit that? What independent is going to come in and look at all that stuff?
Well, John Dougal is
exactly
right now
the Republican. Guy who's Mr. Republican, a great guy. Do you think under
he's
any circumstances? But he's going to see. He said, I'll get to you after the election. Dougal is not independent. We need a totally independent group in there made up of people that don't have any political say that can go and look at those contracts because it smells from here all the way to Draper and Utah County.
Need to look at them,
I don't trust them.
What would be nice is all of these tech companies who got these no-bid contracts, if they could come and get our kids hooked up with all the internet they need for school, because in your district, this should be a concern, Jim. 3,000 kids in the Salt Lake City School District a week in have still not logged in once. That's bigger than any, that would be like the entire population of Bingham plus an elementary school, high school not showing up to
school. Maybe they don't have laptops.
Yeah, and that's a concern, whether they don't have laptops, they don't have
this
Wi-Fi.
This is why these plans are just absolute. You're not making this state and its children
that's
safer.
Why we need a leader in the state and
I'm
we need a
you,
leader in the country.
Crazy.
This I know, is, but will the state fix that problem, or is it a city problem, or a
this is a
ready
problem? Fire aim. We're in the school year. We're just learning this now. No one knew this was coming. They didn't see that this would be the absolute consequence.
They did.
Of telling
the
these
city
kids
didn't
they
have
can't
any
go
money.
To school. Give me a break. No, there's so much CARE Act money out there that could have been used to get these kids ramped up with those, what do they call them, the tablets. The
there's a lot of money. I think maybe
golden
they just
tablets.
Waited.
No,
to
that, what's it called? The PC one. Chromes.
Yeah,
the Chromebooks.
That's what my son has. Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
I think some districts waited too late. I noticed that my son last year when he went home from school in the Jordan district had an old beat up Chromebook because I think they, yeah. I don't know what they used them for. But this year they each have one they carry around in their backpack the school has and it looks brand new. So I don't know if some districts waited too long and they couldn't
order them. Look,
there's
CARES Act money out there. The state could marshal and as well as the counties and the communities. There is money. And if you don't spend it by the end of the year, you're going to lose it. And so there is a race on how do you wisely spend it. But the problem is, I don't know. When I was a lawmaker, I was convinced that all day kindergarten was absolutely essential, that we had kids with parents that work, that they had to be that some kids in their circumstances, in their households, we need to have all day kindergarten. I thought it was a nice to have. I didn't think with all the resources and demands on our money for schools, I worried that it was a nice to have, not a have to have, but we did it. Okay. Whatever reason was given that these children needed to we needed to provide all day kindergarten for these kids. It actually applies in first grade and second grade and third grade and on, particularly in the elementary school years. You can convince me in high school there's a lot of seat time and we don't have to have them there every day. But in that K through five or K through three, these kids missing and Heidi, those kids not being able to log on, this is going to be we're going to lose a generation of these kids because we are not handling
this
responsibly.
Once you fall behind, it's hard to
catch up. So let's put the socks on and then the shoes. Let's get rid of the virus. Let's get it down. You know, it's not that difficult. I don't know why, Herbert, get this through your head. You close down for a little bit.
My blood pressure was finally going down.
And then you do two more things. You do astonishingly a lot of tests, and then you have the world's best follow-up like your mother didn't get, and this thing can get under control. But
okay.
All right. Sorry.
Jim has solved all the
problems. That was our brief topic.
Ooh. Yeah.
It only took us 22 minutes to get through
goodness.
That. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about something nice here. So the airport, I have not been to it yet because I can't fly places. I've got to go to work. But it's beautiful.
You're the one.
I know. We all do.
You are the big gun here now. That's
I'll be like, listen, boss, I'm going to the Caribbean. Everywhere.
That's right.
The problem is if you book a ticket right now, when you get there, you don't know if you're going to have to sit there for 2 weeks in your hotel room. That's a real problem. But we do have a brand new, beautiful airport. It's very artistically inclined. It's very white and sleek and clean. That's why I want to go there because everything looks so clean right
looks
now.
Looks very fancy and modern.
You can plug your phone in at your seat. You can eat a meal that doesn't have jacked up prices. I do like that when they built the airport that anyone who came in had to charge the going rate as opposed to
airport
one of those
rate.
Nasty airport burritos for $36 that gives you
exactly.
yep.
gut troubles for the rest of the week.
Yes.
Okay, so Jim.
Or your connecting flight.
Do you want this named after you? I feel like
you know,
there is a name game going on, Jim. Do you think you're in the running?
I want to say this. That remember when Denver opened? Denver was the last big airport I remember opening.
That's right.
And for weeks, they lost everybody's luggage, and everything was spindling. That big circus tent flew away, and the rest. In a way, if there is a good side to the moment we're in, I mean, we're going to get a real easing transition because what they
true.
Were trying
like
to
practice.
Do is almost impossible because there isn't one inch of building at the old airport that's in the new one.
Yeah.
So that meant one night they were in the old one.
Yeah.
And then everybody runs, and we got to be in the new one. So
it was awesome.
And I mean, I can't imagine how good they have done. That airport director, I can't remember his name, what a terrific professional. He's just done everything great. So Scott Anderson from Zions Bank put an editorial in the D News saying that it ought to be Jake Garn. And I don't have anything against Jake Garn, but he is.
An astronaut from Utah who served his country?
Well, he wasn't exactly an astronaut. He was a senator who leveraged his power to end up on a trip. Since his committee was in charge.
So cynical.
But look, it's another. There's a lot of people in this state that don't identify with white male Mormons of a certain age. They just don't. And as you look around, virtually everybody in authority and everybody honored
Should we dislike him just because he's
no,
white?
No, we shouldn't dislike him, but he was born that but way. We ought to open it up to the variety, the great variety that we have in the state of Utah.
And not just concentrate
on the same people that we name everything else after.
So who's your idea?
I'll tell you.
Reagan's already been taken. I was thinking Reagan International, but I think that's been taken, right?
Okay.
I just like him,
though. So who would you pick? Who's diverse enough and cool enough?
The most remarkable person I have ever met in my life by football fields is a Utahn. And in the early 80s, when hundreds and hundreds of Utahns were dying of AIDS, and I can't blame the medical establishment because it was like Ebola. You know, nobody knew that if you touch somebody, you couldn't get AIDS. In the early days, the first couple of years, there was one doctor, Dr. Kristen Reese, who together with the sisters,
I like the idea of a woman.
The Sisters of the Holy Cross at Holy Cross Hospital, where they opened up a garage kind of, and those seven sisters and Dr. Reese treated every single person with AIDS because they wouldn't be seen at other places. Yeah, that was in the 80s. She's still alive. You can't imagine what she did. And aside from AIDS, it's the spirit of Utah. She exemplifies that as much as anybody. And as you look at all the airports and you see the Reese Airport, that would send a message about our community and our state that Jake Garn, the old senator, might not send. So Dr. Kristen Reese, International Airport.
I think she'd be interesting to talk to you right now because AIDS at the time was the great unknown. And I feel like at this point, coronavirus, we still don't even know if it takes 2 days or 14 days to pass it on. She'd be interesting to talk to on that issue. Who would you name it after, Greg?
Jack Dempsey. He went to elementary school in Provo.
Oh, and I thought he was like Patrick Dempsey's brother.
No, Jack Dempsey, very famous boxer. Went to elementary school in Provo, lived in Provo, actually fought, if you look at his record, he fought a fireman from Murray, and anyway, very famous boxer, and that's who I would name it to Jack Dempsey. International Airport.
Quiet Heroes on Amazon Plus is a film that won an Emmy about Dr. Reese and what she did and the
Where
Sisters
did she do
of
this?
Holy
she
Cross.
She said she was born here, but this didn't happen in Utah, her work, or was there her
oh,
work
yeah,
done
yeah.
here?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's at Holy
it
Cross,
was done here.
Yeah.
Oh, here in Utah,
I mean,
right.
You guys, Tim Hoover was dying, my friend. I went to pick him up. His sister said no doctors will see him. He'd been 150 pounds. He was down to 100 pounds. I started calling doctors. They wouldn't go see him. We packed Tim into my old Datsun B210 and started knocking on doctors' doors, and every one of them said, we're sorry, no. And some of them were louder.
That's crazy.
Dr. Reese was the one, and she'll be
a
Utah hero
story
forever.
For me. I'd not heard
Quiet Heroes.
Yeah. I'm sorry I did not come to this meeting with ideas for who the airport should be named after. I'm trying to think.
How about the KUTV?
The KUTV, the Rod Decker Airport.
Get a corporate
airport.
Sponsor. Yeah, what are we doing giving the name away? We got to make some money off this name. It should be like, you know, get like a stadium.
There's no airport sold like that, is there?
I don't know, but you should start. I mean, why not make it a
revenue
generator?
We didn't used to sell anything, but I remember, I mean, it used to be college football stadiums weren't sold, and we're selling those now. So anything is for sale in Utah, people, starting now. Just kidding, it's not. Big Ten. Speaking of stadiums, Big Ten football is back, and Greg, are you excited about this? Did the president make this happen, or
no,
did
I'll tell you,
money
well,
make
kind
it
of.
Happen?
Let me tell you what happened. So they were getting so much grief. These universities were getting so much grief because you have the SEC, that's Power 5 Conference, the Southeast Conference was playing, ACC was playing football. You had the Big 12 that was playing, but the Pac-12 and the Big 10 said they weren't. If you look at the schools, the institutions, and the states they come from, very liberal, very blue. A story came out where the alumni and the fans of Michigan football were giving that university so much grief, and then finally someone let the cat out of the bag. The very, very strident liberal governor of Michigan was the one that was really keeping the Big Ten and Michigan from playing football. Well, guess what happened? That looks like that could benefit President Trump when that many people from Michigan realized that someone aligned with Biden and liberal and trying to shut everything down and create harsher mandates was preventing them from their football. And then magically, once that was realized, They all came to their senses and they said Big Ten football can start in October. Go figure.
So before that election, maybe after it. So Greg, here's the question. What if all these football players start playing and they're pouncing on each other, rolling around in their dog piles, dropping spit on each other, grabbing each other's bums, whatever they do, sweating. Just like, what if they all pass coronavirus and then we're like, this is a bad idea.
Heidi, I think this. I think that because,
could never happen.
Because look, because I think college football is such a moneymaker, let's be honest, we'd love to think it's just about the student-athlete experience, but
it
we know it's not.
It feeds all students and it does. People at school.
The amount of money we're talking about is unbelievable. I would argue that those schools who have every interest to have a successful season will create protocols and they will have their student-athletes under supervision in a way that is greater than in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, where those student-athletes went home to wherever they live, you know, doing whatever they were doing and without being, you know, supervised or part of a program. I think that these football players, how often they're being checked and tested, it is happening at a higher frequency than the student-athletes that aren't playing. So my guess is that if you're on these teams, the attention paid to you not getting it is going to be higher than those schools that decide not to have football, and those their students are just in their respective neighborhoods, not in school, doing whatever they're going to do. So I think it's I don't think it's more dangerous. I actually think it's going to be a safer climate for those athletes.
So, Jim, your alma mater, BYU, has been playing football. They've been killing some teams. They've had to skip some teams or games, too, because people have been sick. Are you excited to see them back
it's
and
disgusting.
Playing?
I think it shows America's, I love football, but this is, there's some great articles about the pandemic in Utah in 1918 and 1919 that maybe you've read them. They're so good. So if you Google through them, all of this is old. I mean, you can see the same arguments. There was an election, and all the candidates went crazy. And the director of the Salt Lake City Health Department director, went berserk in the Deseret News and in the Trib and in the other newspapers because the state health officials said, we're closing it down. No church, no activities, no theater, no sports, nothing.
And, no fun for anyone.
And guess what happened, of course? Utah became the number two state in deaths per capita. We listen to the stupid guy in Salt Lake. There's a guy we ought to build a monument for in idiocy. The health department director of Salt Lake that was the one that argued. And because of his argument, Salt Lake didn't buckle down. And within a few weeks, after April 3rd, after LDS conference, there was not one city in the state except Panguitch that didn't have a case of the influenza. And then eventually, they celebrated that, and then 100 people in Panguitch got it from that.
That's
I'm
not
saying
funny,
these
Jim.
Stories
those
are
real people.
Yes, Jim. That's how callous of you.
I can't help it.
I know.
No, here's Panguitch. The thing. Here's what I'd say though story. Look at South Dakota. They don't do that. They did not mandate the mask. Their death rates are no. They're not an outlier, Jim.
Oh, there's a terrible. Check the numbers today, because there's been a terrible outbreak in South Dakota. Because I know you bring them up.
I do.
No more coronavirus.
Okay, yeah. It's so hard not to.
We're literally out of time, but this is going to be real quick. I wanted to talk about this because we did a story this week, and it was something that I was working on for a while myself. But Kyle Harvey, one of our reporters, did a story about Salt Lake City police and how there's dozens of them, from what we understand, wanting to leave the department, go to other cities because they feel like they're not getting support from Mayor Mendenhall, who essentially told them during some of these protests, step back, let the city get torn apart, is what they're saying. They're not getting the guidance and support they feel they need from Chief Brown. We had three different officers who did speak under anonymity. We made them sound like chipmunks in the story, so sorry about that to them. But they are speaking out, and maybe they're just three angry officers that they're being held accountable, or maybe they're three officers saying, I'm the canary in the mine. There's a problem here. Is there a problem in the Salt Lake City Police Department?
Yeah, there is. There is a problem when a 13-year-old child with autism is shot seven times. That's a problem. So I would say to the officers who are going to work in Salt Lake City, this is not your city. You work for the city. You don't control everything. You can have say like employees do. But the days are over where police with impunity can go out and shoot and do bad things. And you know what? If you don't like it, officers, go to work in Riverton or Harriman or Draper or St. George. If you don't embrace the values of the people of Salt Lake City, you shouldn't be working
the
here.
The politics of Salt Lake City.
But no, it's the values. Politics. We look at police and policing different than people do it in other places. And so the city does not conform
I know you do.
To the hardcore wants of somebody who's a police officer. If you're not comfortable here, it's probably a bad mix. And
but
we'll find officers.
That maybe Mendenhall's too hardcore and her beliefs, and those are going down to officers who felt like they needed to protect the city, getting away just from shooting.
I don't think, I think.
They wanted to stop windows from being broken or paint being thrown.
Who's the look, boss there? Who do the people elect?
We've
the police union
or
the mayor? I think she's representing the people quite well. And I have nothing personally against any officers that don't feel comfortable with the people of Salt Lake City.
So if you were the mayor, would you
employer.
Do it differently?
Yeah, I would say, officer, thank you for serving. You're uncomfortable here. You don't like the people in Salt Lake. You don't like their values. You have your own ideas on how policing ought to be done. Fine. Go to somewhere else and do it. But that's not how we do things in Salt Lake. And you want to work for our city, that's what you do.
Let me tell you what you do in Salt Lake. It's what we did in the summer of 17 when we had that, when I was speaker, we had to bring multiple jurisdictions of law enforcement with outreach and community because we had such a runaway, you know, cartels running these streets in Salt Lake City, human trafficking happening at an obscene and horrific level. And the politics of Salt Lake did not allow for that to be addressed. The lawlessness was running unabated, and it was making it dangerous for people to live and work in this city. So you saw a state effort, a massive effort. In that time, you know, we didn't see, you know, this was never going to be a permanent place for the state of Utah to be in. It was supposed to help transition. When the state of Utah, the Department of Public Safety, left these areas in Salt Lake City on July 1st of this year, you saw all this crime and everything come back. And here's the problem with law enforcement as you look at our cities across America and in Salt Lake City. Law enforcement is tethered to the politics, not the culture, but the politics of the mayor that hired the chief. And I'm going to tell you that many times that contradicts law enforcement or public safety. It puts law enforcement officers in a very difficult place. So where Jim says, I have an idea. If you don't want to be a police officer in Salt Lake City, just move on. I have another prospect. If you don't like law enforcement, if you want to defund the police, if you don't want to address the vandalism and the drug trafficking and the human trafficking, and you don't want to do this, everybody who wants the police to not be in their lives in any way, create a public database, put your name and your address, and we'll make sure that the law enforcement will never darken your door, will never come to your home if there's an emergency. They won't come. But what I think would happen is it's like a lie detector test. Anybody who says defund the police, you wouldn't be wise to put your name on a list like that because while the police might not arrive, wolves are out there every single day looking to prey upon people. And those that you say, hey, don't come to my house, leave the police alone, someone's going to come to your house, sadly. I'm going to tell you, you cannot take public safety and dismiss it as a luxury.
That sounds like extortion, what you're saying.
It's not extortion.
You either, the police, either you do it our way and we'll shoot when we want and how we want and under what circumstances, or else we won't protect you.
Nobody condones shooting anywhere you want, anywhere you want. That's such a false premise. That's a false premise.
You're supposed to be for local choice. The people of Salt Lake City simply don't view police work the same way that other places do.
Here's my
bet. Why not?
Until they need it. Until they need they would want them to come.
You're
I promise
assuming that there is a smug level that good policing has to be the way you define it. And I don't think so. I think defunding the police means taking some of the police budget and using it for other means of probably more effective
and when
means.
We did Operation Rio Grande, that's not what we did. Okay. We had that.
We're going to have to argue about this another day, boys. But yes, mental health
less.
Is important. And just so you know, Salt Lake City Police Department does have that service where they have those mental health professionals that go out with you, but they're only scheduled to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So at 4:01 p.m., you've got a problem and you've got an autistic child who's having a meltdown. They're not there anymore. So there's a lot of issues to look at. I would encourage you to go to KUTV.com. You can watch Kyle Harvey's story next Monday at 10 o'clock. I sit down with Sheriff Rosie Rivera to talk about her side of the issues with officers. I talked to District Attorney Sim Gill about this and talked to a man who was shot, I think, 3 or 4 times in a Midvale car wash. Anyhow, it's an issue that we could talk days and days about.
I just want to say this, though. Jim, I will join you on the fight for human dignity and protecting human dignity and treating each other safely, fairly, without the violence and without the things that you're talking about, shooting anyone anywhere you want. I will never accept that premise. But I'll say this. The morale, would you want one of your children or family members to be a police officer? Would you want them to choose that as a career right now? And what happens when the morale goes so low and we have demonized law enforcement to such a great degree that we can't find people that want to even be in this profession? It will be a tragedy and it will be dangerous.
Greg, I agree with you. I think this is something we need to deal with as a state. We need to respect. We need to pay police officers. We need to be there. I mean, look, I've been there. I've called them and I thought something was happening, you know, and I know what it's unbelievably scary. And I have those policemen just roll in. They are the last thing between anarchy and civilization. I'm there for police. But on the other hand, I'm not there for arrogant police that think they know everything and are going to do things the way they want to do it, whether or not the community and the rest want it done. There's a common ground there, and I know you and I could come to it.
And I like that you have found some common ground. I do think that they're in high-pressure situations. Maybe we should take all of next week, take 30 minutes, and we just talk about policing and police reform. So this has been fun. God bless America. Happy Constitution Week.
What was I thinking? That you were not fatigued in any way coming into this.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. I have it memorized. I'm always loaded.
Yes.
You guys, sign up for the podcast.
All the cool kids are doing it. Tell your friends.